So as I said at the beginning of Mass, as we enter into the season of Lent, it's a time for conversion, which involves the turning away from sin, all that does not lead us to a deeper communion with God, all that leads us away from life with Him. And when we think about that, and the word we usually use for that is sin that comes from the Scriptures, when we think about that, we usually think of the personal things that we've done. But one of the things that the Church's teaching has developed over recent years is that our sin also has social effects and creates structures of sin in our world, which we get caught up in and are involved in, sometimes even without our knowledge. And so in order to address something of that on this first Sunday of Lent, the social justice group, is on behalf of the parish, has invited Sister Margaret Ng from the Josephite Sisters to come and speak to us about human trafficking. So Sister Margaret's one of the co-founders of ACRAF, which stands for Australian Catholic Religious Against the Trafficking of Humans. So as she comes up to the ambo now, you might make her welcome, please.
Thank you, Father, and thank you for welcoming me. And thanks to the Social Justice Group for your welcome, which is, I can't say anything further, but thank you. If you can't hear me at the back, can you please put your hand up? Good. I'm going to begin with something that Pope Francis said. Slaves no more, but brothers and sisters in Christ. This was the rallying call of Pope Francis to the world in 2015, urging all of us to take action against human trafficking, which we call modern slavery today. According to the latest 2016 Global Slavery Index, it is estimated that 45.8 million people are in some form of modern slavery in 167 countries. Kevin Bales, who is a writer, says, "Modern slaves are cheap and disposable, purchased and thrown away like a disposable foam in cups." And I'm happy to say that today we have a Modern Slavery Act in Australia and also in New South Wales. This is to combat the risk of slavery in our supply chains. I will speak more about it later. The question I raise is, who is a slave? Do we think of people who are bound in chains, who look like the Africans, are from third world countries? What does a slave look like today in the world, in Australia? Can you please raise your hand if you think you know the answer? Oh, you're shy like the group before you. Never mind, I'll let you off. It's okay. Victims and survivors of slavery look like you and me. Ordinary women, children, and men. And sometimes it could be somebody down the street from you or your neighbor. So does slavery exist today in Australia? Yes, slavery does exist in Australia. We are the destination country. People are brought into this country, so it's a destination country. And we have now become a source country for human trafficking, which is modern day slavery. You would imagine that how can we send people to be slaves overseas, right? Not so long ago, a young lass was found in the hold of a ship and she was being kidnapped and was going to be sold to somebody in the Middle East. So it does happen here. Children, women and men are forced or deceived by traffickers with the promise of a job or an education, and they are deprived of their freedom. They are often abused and forced to work long hours and with very little, if any, payment. When I came to Sydney from Perth in 2005, I hadn't got a clue about slavery, let alone in Australia. I soon found out. I attended court cases and to my horror discovered there were terrible things happening. One of the young ladies at that court case had come to Australia. She was a university student and wanted to buy a car. She begged her father, who eventually gave in. They went to the trafficker, who was very convincing, and signed the papers. And so she came to Australia, but found that she was sold to a brothel for $15,000, and she had to repay a debt of $40,000. Don't know where the money came, that number came, but that was it. She had to do the work 24/7, no rest, and then didn't get a penny until she finished the debt. They even gave her a little book to write down the number of services she had done to make sure that she knew how much she had done. So I go to the detention center too, and I met somebody else there. And she got to know her, managed to get her out of the detention center, because in those days, the federal police were not aware of what's happening as much as they do now. And this young lady came to my place one day and showed me her wrist. And she said to me, "Look, sister." I said, "Oh, you've got a cut. There's a scar. What happened? Did you cut yourself?" She said, "Yes." "Was this an accident?" "No, silly me. I didn't understand these things in those days. The trauma of being trafficked was so great that there was a big pain in her inside. And she cut her wrist to take away the other pain." Fact is stranger than fiction, isn't it? We are members of the global village, and so we are part of the problem of modern-day slavery. Why? Because we are all part of the demand and supply chain of goods and commodities, and as we ask for cheap goods and services. You know, I always like to get a bargain when I go shopping and look for the specials, right? I'm sure some of you do that too. And it helps when you've got a big family to look after. But what does this all mean for us? Slavery flows into our homes, offices, and schools through the many products we purchase. For example, chocolates. How many people like chocolates? That's better. And the chocolates we buy are often used by using child labor in the Ivory Coast in Africa. So they have to work long hours in plantations, and some of them have been kidnapped and given little to eat. Even if they dare to complain, they get beaten, so they have to finish their quota for the day. It comes into our homes through the seafood we eat. Thai fishermen and people from Myanmar have been co-opted and forced to go into slavery on fishing boats. Fruit, vegetables in Australia. I'll talk about that later. The mobile phone. How many people have a mobile phone? Nearly everybody, right? So mobile phones have batteries, don't they? Who do you think gets the coltan or the cobalt to make the batteries? Children. In Africa, children are sent underground. They have to dig the tunnels. There are no shoring up devices. We've got tunnels here with coal mining and all that. But these young children have to drag the earth out and then go in, and sometimes it collapses on them. And sometimes because of the fumes, they don't have masks, they have no money to go to doctor, they die young. So it's terrible news, I know. And that's why we need a modern slavery act. Have you ever stopped to consider that what you are wearing is at the cost of someone else's misery? Children, until recently in Uzbekistan, had to stop school and go to work in the cotton fields to pick the cotton. And we also have to look at our uniforms, school uniforms. You know, where do they come from? Where did the cotton come from? There's a long chain, which you will find out later in the year. I think the justice group is doing something about that, so keep your eyes and ears open. As members of the global community, we are consumers unwittingly contributing to slavery. Example, in India, child labor is cheap. Many of us are aware of the thousands of deaths during the fire in the Rana Plaza factory. Women, children, and men are brought into Australia under false pretenses and they end up in forced labor, debt bondage, domestic servitude, sexual servitude, organ trafficking. Often the passports are taken away and the workers are not allowed to leave the premises. Others have ended up in slave-like conditions. They are often abused and paid a pittance for long hours of work in terrible conditions, such as sweatshops, nail parlors, factories, meatworks. In November 2017, AMIE Union uncovered a culture of bullying, intimidation and harassment by labour hire firms in the Tamworth area. Migrant meat workers were forced to live in vermin-infested conditions with 15 to 20 people living in a house. They couldn't go anywhere else to live, otherwise they didn't get a job. Anybody who dared to complain would be blackballed and not rostered to work. Women were also sexually harassed, and in the agriculture and horticultural sector, for example, in Bundaberg, 22 Vanuatu workers in the seasonal workers program, which was started by the Australian government to give work and skills to the islanders instead of AusAid, ended up being unpaid and in debt bondage. This happens in the construction industry, has happened in Canberra as well, in the cooks and workers in restaurants. So there have been cases in Sydney about an Indian cook who was very badly used and also wasn't paid, and he was sleeping on the floor in the back of the restaurant. I met some people in a vineyard and they were pruning vines for 50 cents a vine. They tried to go on strike, and when they tried to do so, the owner said, okay, I asked them, how much were you asking for? They said, $1. I thought that they could ask for $2. You know those big thick vines, the grape vines? They were using a handsaw to cut it. So in the end, he said, okay, you go back to work. And then they brought in some other young workers, and on Monday, when they were going to the vineyard, they called the police, and on the way they were arrested for working illegally. Since the criminalization, you might ask, why don't they leave? As I said before, they can't leave because of the fear of threat or harm to them or their families. Since the criminalization of forced marriage in 2013, the number of forced marriage referrals has increased. In 2019, there were 93 referrals of forced marriage to the Australian Federal Police. And of these 93, 35 were from New South Wales. It's a cultural issue, and is more prevalent where parents try to ensure that their children adhere to their cultural practices. There have been cases of young Catholic minors who have experienced this, and I have met one person who went to a Catholic school. As I speak to you, I am reminded of the African proverb that says, "It takes a village to raise a child." Today, however, it takes the global village to raise a child, and we are members of this global village. So what does it mean to raise a child? Food, shelter, protection, and education, leading to dignified work. And let me emphasize, nobody is born into slavery. And the children are not to blame for being trafficked. Quite often when I met the people and they said to me, you know, it's my fault because I was so stupid. They were not stupid, they were taken in, they were taken advantage of. So nobody is to blame but the trafficker himself or herself. So as I said before, we all love eating chocolate, don't we? Most of us. And Easter eggs. Did you know that about 3 million tons of chocolate are consumed each year, and that much of the chocolate that is sold in Australia is produced using child slave labour? It is estimated that 1.5 to 2 million children work in cocoa plantations in Africa. As I said before, they are tricked, they are abducted, they are made to work for long hours in the sun, And if they don't do as they're told, they get beaten. And of course, they don't get a chance to go to school at all. I can almost hear some of you saying, so what can I do about it? Firstly, we can pray. We can pray for these survivors and victims, and also for the people who try to help them, and for our governments that they have new laws that will help these people. We can speak of what's happening in Australia to other people, your friends, your families, your colleagues. And we can still eat chocolate with a conscience by buying certified slavery-free Easter chocolate. Look for the UTZ sign. I have got a poster at the back. When you go out of church, have a look. Fair Trade, Rainforest, and Higgs also has slave-free chocolate. LD sells Chocur, C-H-O-C-E-U-R, which is UTZ labeled. The second thing you can do is go to the shop and ask for and encourage the supermarkets to stock and sell certified Easter chocolates. You can also buy chocolates like Cadbury Milk Chocolate, Mars Bars, Kit Kat, and chocolate made from sustainably sourced cocoa. And as we are in the season of Lent, we can make a difference to fishermen by buying seafood caught in Australia and those with the Blue MSC Maritime Sustainable Certificate seafood, which if you go to Coast and Woolworths, you'll see in the labels. And I think John West is another label that doesn't use slave labour. I would like to end this session. This is just a snippet of things that are happening. Time is running away. With a quote from an African professor who spoke of the plight of children, a child who was a victim of trafficking. And I ask you, after I've read the poem, for a moment of silence to pray for those people suffering from slavery and asking God's mercy on them and also a good heart for the trafficker so that they mend their ways, which I don't think they will because of the money involved. It is a billion-dollar industry, but to pray for them anyway and for our governments. So here it is. I cried when Mama died. There was silence. I cried when we were thrown out. There was silence. When will you be silent? Till I be silent? Do you love me? You told God you care about me. Thank you for listening and ask you to pray for the people and to act wisely. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Margaret. So we will pray in this Mass for the intentions that Sister Margaret just mentioned, but also want to encourage you to think about the choices you make, particularly as you consume not only Easter egg chocolate, but many other things that we buy each day. We'll continue now with the first collection and the rest of the Liturgy of the Word and the Liturgy of the Eucharist.